But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some good trouble with Cory Booker. Move on to a federal judge who's had enough of ICE disappearing innocent people, and follow all of that up with the stupidest tariffs ever imposed. Let's begin, shall we? The final season of the United States of America may be a lot of things, but one thing it's not is disappointing. I mean, between the out-of-nowhere character development of some of the supporting cast to the Michael Bay levels of destruction, you got to admit, there's something here for everyone. Starting with that incredible 25-hour and 5 minutes of good trouble New Jersey's own Senator Cory Booker got into on the Senate floor. Roll tape.
Promised to lower your grocery prices, they're higher. He promised, I'll be a better steward of the economy. It's worse than we inherited.
He promised to lower your grocery prices, they're higher. He promised, I'll be a better steward of the economy. The economy is worse. The economy is worse.
Okay, I'm sorry, that was the wrong clip. Because although that musical machination was absolutely fantastic, chef's kiss, Cory actually took his time, all 25 hours and 5 minutes of it, to not only break a previous record held by a pasty white douche named Strom Thurmond, because even his parents hated his racist ass. Loser Thurmond once babbled on the Senate floor for 24 hours and 8 minutes about all the white supremacist reasons why the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a bad idea for his melanin-impaired brothers and sisters, of course. And now, just 61 years later, a black man has shown that he can not only outlast a crusty old cracker by 57 minutes, but use his time for better things.
So tonight, I rise with the intention of getting in some good trouble. I rise with the intention of disrupting the normal business of the United States Senate for as long as I am physically able. In just 71 days, the President of the United States has inflicted so much harm on Americans' safety, financial stability, the core foundations of our democracy, and even our aspirations as a people for, from our highest offices, a sense of common decency. What kind of man is in our White House that makes fun of the disabled? So many Americans are one flat tire, one $400 hit to their account, and they're suddenly doing payday loans. Over and over, he's breaking promises and doing outrageous things, like disappearing people off of American streets, violating fundamental principles of this document, invoking the Alien Enemies Act from the 1700s that was last used to put Japanese Americans in internment camps? Do we see what's happening? How much is enough? I know so many Americans who live in fear every day that one little thing will happen to them that will destabilize their financial well-being. And now those millions of Americans, because of a president and a man named Musk, are driving fear into them. They have a president that talks down to them, that lies about the services that they rely on. What is this? It is not normal. How can the most powerful people in our land not comfort others, not tell them they have nothing to fear but fear itself, not tell them to have malice towards none but have charity towards all? Power of the people is greater than the people in power. When our founder said we must mutually pledge to each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. We need that now from all Americans. This is a moral moment. It's not left or right, it's right or wrong. Go out and cause some good trouble, necessary trouble, to redeem the soul of our nation. I want you to redeem the dream. Let's be bold in America, not to mean and degrade Americans, not divide us against each other. Let's be bolder in America with a vision that inspires, with hope.
I hope that every elected official, state or federal, is listening. This is the kind of energy Democrats need right now. Cory Booker spent his 25 hours and 5 minutes reading the concerned pleas of Americans from all over our country. People who are scared, who have lost their jobs, their financial security, and don't know if their life-saving benefits are coming this month. He admonished the idiotic authoritarian takeover of our government via one broke-ass billionaire and his special government twat. And Cory did this while he was dehydrated, because he stopped drinking fluids the day before this speech, and hungry as fuck because he'd stopped eating the day before that. Because that's what dedication looks like. Which leads me to the incredible thing that happened on Capitol Hill, coming unexpectedly out of the House of Representatives.
Talk about what happened in the House. It was actually a big defeat yesterday for Speaker Mike Johnson. A group of House Republicans sank an effort by Johnson trying to kill a plan that would allow remote voting for lawmakers who become new parents.
This is a battle over proxy voting. Basically, can you assign another member to vote for you while you are out on either maternity leave or other things? Republican Ana Paulina Luna of Florida was pushing. She had support from Democrat Brittany Peterson and others. But ultimately, Johnson tried to get rid of this effort. Republicans then coming to the aid of Democrats and helping to defeat this move by the speaker. And because of it, Johnson basically said, okay, I'm going to turn this legislative car around. No more votes this week.
Folks, this one is quite funny. So for exposition purposes, Republican Ana Paulina Luna and Democrat Brittany Peterson both have newborns at home, and these two women thought it would be awesome if new parents, both moms and dads, could use proxy voting so they could still do their jobs and spend time with their families. Sounds fair, right? Well, impotent rage Johnson thought this idea was absolute bullshit, because even though he has used proxy voting in the past for whatever reasons, giving these women the equal right to designate someone to vote for them in Congress was apparently a bridge too far. So Luna and Peterson got all the signatures that they would need to add their proxy voting idea to the rules package Tiny Johnson wanted to vote on, so the House could get to the business of voting to remove the voting rights of 8 out of 10 American women who are or have been married, among other things. And this, what Luna and Peterson did, it really pissed the tiniest Speaker of the House right the fuck off. So he had some language changed in his rules package, having proxy voting banished forever and essentially killing Luna and Peterson's hopes of not having to bring their babies to work just to do their jobs. Now, being new mothers, Luna and Peterson could see little Johnson's mantram from a mile away, so they got together with a few of their colleagues from both sides of the aisle, and they voted down the entire rules package. Because if mommy can't have a break, neither can Flaccid Johnson. Which prompted the most Cartman-inspired response from Mikey.
Well, it's a very disappointing result on the floor there. A handful of Republicans joined with all the Democrats to take down a rule. It's very unfortunate. Let me just make this clear. That rule being brought down means that we can't have any further action on the floor this week. That means we will not be voting on the SAVE Act for election integrity. We will not be voting on the rogue judges who are attacking President Trump's agenda. We will not be taking down these terrible Biden policies with the CRA votes. All that was just wiped off the table. It's very unfortunate. We'll regroup and come back, and we'll have to do this again.
A few people joined with Democrats.
To the
people have
emotional
reasons for doing what they're doing, but we're going to keep governing. This is a small, razor-thin majority, and we have to build consensus on everything, and I wish they'd not taken this course.
Oh, no. You mean, thanks to the emotional outbursts of two mothers, at least 68.4 million women whose current name does not match the name on their birth certificates get to keep their voting rights for another week because you're taking your toys and going home? Yeah, that sounds...
Oh, that's terrible.
You seem kind of psyched.
No, I'm bummed.
Oh, you know what? Me too. I'm so bummed now that Republicans have to wait another week to vote on punishing federal judges who aren't allowing their dear leader to do whatever the fuck he wants and ruling against the orange-colored douche's efforts to reverse birthright citizenship and firing half the government because Apartheid Clyde told him to and all the fresh horrors we've been subject to for the last couple of months. Oh, and let's not forget about all the people that have just been disappearing from college campuses, their places of work, and random street corners. Some of them for rightfully speaking out against Israel's final solution for Palestine, and others for just existing in Maryland.
To a massive misstep by the Trump administration, the U.S. government admitting in a court filing yesterday that federal agents accidentally deported a man who was in the U.S. legally, landing him in El Salvador's notorious mega jail. The administration is calling it a, quote, administrative error. And Justice Department lawyers say they don't have jurisdiction to get the Salvadorian government to release him and return him to the United States.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement says Kilmar Abrego Garcia was arrested last month as part of the administration's deportation flights, even though he had legal protection to stay in the U.S.
There was also a time he was accused of having a connection to Tren de Aragua, but police were not able to hold him because there was no evidence that connected him firmly to the gang.
Vice President Vance has said, and anyone who doesn't, let me just share a couple of the things he said about your client. He said he's a, quote, convicted MS-13 gang member with no legal right to be here. And then he said, quote, in 2019, an immigration judge under the first Trump administration determined that the deported man was, in fact, a member of the MS-13 gang. He also apparently had multiple traffic violations for which he failed to appear in court. A real winner.
The gang allegations arose in 2019 when he was working as a day laborer in front of Home Depot. It was an anonymous tip from a confidential informant. There was never any hard and fast evidence. When he was arrested by ICE at a preliminary hearing, the judge sort of took a look at these allegations and said, well, I don't know what's going on here, so I'm not going to allow him to be released pending his court case. But then he went to trial and he won his trial. He won his trial and the government decided not to appeal at that time. The Trump administration decided not to appeal, released him from the detention center and gave him a work permit. And he's been renewing that work permit and working legally in the United States ever since.
So what the fuck is the problem now? Kilmar Abrego Garcia was just living his best life in Maryland, being a wonderful father to his U.S. citizen children, being an amazing husband to his U.S. citizen wife. He worked, as he was legally allowed to do. He even paid taxes. But that apparently was not enough for the Trump regime because they screamed gang member, and suddenly Kilmar has disappeared, last seen on TV, hunched over in an El Salvadorian prison with his head recently shaved. Kilmar's wife recognized her husband on video, released by the Trump regime, airing on national news, got herself a lawyer, and even the Maryland judge in this case said that this is some old bullshit. Especially after Trump's ambulance chasers admitted to this Maryland district court judge that sending Kilmar to a foreign prison was a, quote, clerical error, but refused to do anything about it because Kilmar's in El Salvador's hands now. To which that judge said, well, then go fucking get him, and ordered Kilmar to be returned to the United States by 11:59 p.m. on April 7th. A move these D-average lawyers did not want to happen. Because if one judge can order the return of a disappeared person, then so can others. And you better bet they fucking will now that this judge has set a precedence.
Oh, no. No, no.
Meanwhile, in Wisconsin, the drama went full CW just days before a crucial Supreme Court seat race that would determine how Project 2025, that state, would eventually become. On the left, you had Susan Crawford, a former prosecutor who has the capacity for empathy and some of the most important traits that you would want in a Supreme Court justice. On the right, you had Brad Schimmel, a conservative jackass, one Southern African dipshit, spent nearly $25 million to get elected, which tells you everything you need to know about Brad. So let's focus our attention on the walking, barely talking ketamine cocktail that tried to get Brad elected.
Elon Musk holding a town hall in Green Bay, Wisconsin, under fire, accused of trying to buy an election. Musk and President Trump backing the conservative candidate Brad Schimmel in his race against Susan Crawford, the liberal candidate.
The billionaire and special advisor to President Trump has spent more than $20 million hoping to get conservative Brad Schimmel elected.
The billionaire's super PAC has offered $100 to Wisconsin voters to sign a petition to oppose so-called activist judges. Musk saying he will be personally handing out million-dollar checks to two people who signed the petition.
Musk announced the event and he said that he would be giving out those two $1 million checks to those for, quote, appreciation for taking the time to vote. Now, he deleted that post and later clarified that the checks would be to become spokespeople for his petition against activist judges.
So the first check goes to Nicholas Jacobs. And then the second one is to Ekaterina Diesler.
Attorney General Josh Call here in Wisconsin, who sued to block Musk from giving out those checks, arguing it violated Wisconsin state law, which said that you cannot offer anything of value in exchange for somebody's vote.
Now, late this evening, the state Supreme Court up in Wisconsin declined to hear a motion by Wisconsin's Attorney General to stop Musk's payments, but offered no explanation for that decision.
Here in Wisconsin, a recent poll showed that registered voters view Elon Musk unfavorably. A majority of them do.
He's trying to buy the election. He's trying to pay people to vote. It's illegal.
It's appalling to me personally. It's election bribery at its base, and it should not be allowed.
Damn straight that shouldn't be allowed. Despot Musk shows up in Wisconsin to hand out $1 million checks to allegedly random winners, thinking this will get his $25 million investment on the state Supreme Court so he won't have to worry about the outcome of two of his own court cases. Seriously, this illegal stunt was all so Elmo Schmuck could make millions of dollars shorting Tesla's stock and get his own Tesla dealerships in a state that currently bans manufacturers from doing so. And when I say allegedly random winners, I mean this.
Elon handing $1 million check to Nicholas Jacobs. So let's take a look at who this random lucky winner actually is. Nicholas Jacobs is a student at the University of Wisconsin, where he's the chairman of the Wisconsin's College Republican chapter. According to his LinkedIn, he worked for the campaigns of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Representative Derek Van Orden. In the fall of 2024, he worked as a ballot chase representative for Turning Point Action. This wasn't some random voter plucked out of the masses. This guy is deeply embedded in Republican politics because clearly he just chose people who have an in with the Republican Party.
Well, duh. How else are you going to slip $1 million to the local Wisconsin Republican Party without anyone noticing? It's way easier to have some 20-something douche go and get the oversized check on stage during a televised political stunt than just Venmoing Republicans a bunch of cash. Come on. And as for the other recipient of $1 million worth of bribery, this woman doesn't have to worry about money or employment now that she's the spokesperson for one of Adolf Hitler's super PACs.
My name's Ekaterina Diesler. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I did exactly what Elon Musk told everyone to do. Sign a petition, refer friends and family, vote, and now I have $1 million.
Oh, now would you look at that? All this woman had to do was exactly what Elon Musk told her to do. Turn this election into a pyramid scheme by paying out $100 for votes and not so randomly selecting a GOP operative and a newly hired super PAC spokesperson to get the big prize in front of everyone else who paid $100 to be there. And they would have gotten away with it if it weren't for all the other Wisconsin voters who can't be bought off by a weepy-eyed billionaire.
There is a clear winner in the most expensive judicial race in U.S. history. Susan Crawford, who was endorsed by former President Barack Obama, will be the next Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. Now, her victory is significant because it means liberals will retain their 4-3 majority there.
Wisconsinites fended off an unprecedented attack on our democracy. Our courts are not for sale. As a little girl growing up in Chippewa Falls, I never could have imagined that I'd be taking on the richest man in the world for justice in Wisconsin. And we won.
Good job, Wisconsin, for showing that ketamine clown not all elections can be bought, no matter how big the check is. While we're on the subject of checks, a shit ton of people are concerned about whether their Social Security checks are going to go out as normal, considering there's a lot less people working in that department in the government. They've been voicing their complaints in town halls, in voice messages to their representatives, and showing up at protests, making them all a bunch of whiny fraudsters, if you ask the special government twat and Clown Ligula's Commerce Secretary.
You know who complains the loudest and with the most amount of fake righteous indignation? The fraudsters. It's a tell.
Common sense-wise would say the fraud's got to end.
Yeah.
They're concerned about the 94-year-old mother who skips a check or somehow doesn't get what she's supposed to get.
Right.
Let's say Social Security didn't send out their checks this month. My mother-in-law, who's 94, she wouldn't call and complain.
Mm-hmm.
She just wouldn't. She thinks something got messed up and she'll get it next month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A fraudster always makes the loudest noise, screaming, yelling, and complaining.
No, sir. Not everyone's elderly mother-in-law lives with a son who can cover her expenses because he's worth $4 billion. You out-of-touch candidate for Hair Club for Men looking dweeb. Most Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, especially those receiving Social Security, which doesn't even cover their living expenses to begin with. And now you want to play with the idea of just not sending out those checks in the first place? Sounds to me and Senator Elizabeth Warren that this is just a hair plug brain scheme to make douche look like it's saving some money when it's actually committing fraud.
65-year-old. Calls the helpline to apply for Social Security, but he's told about the new DOGE rule, so he has to go online or in person. He can't drive, he has trouble with the website, so he waits until his niece can get a day off to take him to the local Social Security office. But DOGE closed that office, so they have to drive 2 hours to get to the next closest office. When they get there, there are only two people who are staffing a 50-person line, so he doesn't even make it to the front of the line before the office closes, and he has to come back. Now, let's assume it takes our fellow 3 months to straighten this out, and he misses a total of $5,000 in benefits checks, which, by law, he will never get back. So, Mr. Bisignano, is that a benefit cut?
I'm not sure what to call it. It sounds like a horrible situation.
Is the person getting the $5,000 they were legally entitled to?
I don't know.
Let's be clear that you keep $5,000 from them by announcing a policy. It's illegal. But there are backdoor ways to accomplish the same thing.
Pay attention, folks. This is some of the most despicable shit ever perpetrated on the American public. And that is saying a lot. I mean, have you studied American history at all? See, Dictator Don knows he needs Congress to get rid of a department of government, so he's made a plan that only a stable genius would try. Fire nearly half of the department's staff, close lots of offices, and leave a skeleton crew in those offices that you don't close. Get rid of websites and make it difficult to sign up. Telephone operators, get rid of those, and don't let anyone help you get your benefits. Because if you do this, you won't have to pay out all the benefits to people who can't figure out how to use the website, can't travel hours to an office that is actually open, and then spend all day waiting in line because you only staff that office with two people. And then you can use all that money you defrauded from your voters to pay for billions of dollars in tax cuts for your rich bitch buddies. But folks, that isn't the only way to steal from the poor and give to the rich, according to Eric's dad, who recently unveiled his new plan to crash the global economy.
A big day for the country, President Trump calling it Liberation Day.
Liberation Day.
Liberation Day.
My fellow Americans, this is Liberation Day. April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn the day America's destiny was reclaimed.
President Trump officially announcing widespread, what he calls reciprocal tariffs, at least 10% on practically all goods coming into the United States.
I feel like in some ways in the economy, this is kind of like a kitchen remodel or a bath remodel. There's a bit of a mess at the beginning, but everybody has a long-term look of where we're headed.
It's going to be really annoying in the short term when your house is getting remodeled. There's drywall dust everywhere and there's workers in your living room. The reality is that remodel has got to happen in order to make things stronger and more stable on the back end.
It's going to be a rocky road, and Trump has admitted that.
Trump has acknowledged that there will be some minor inflationary aspect of that.
As he begins to realign the economy to put America first. Everybody knows. And when they voted in November of 2024, they knew that's what they were voting for.
There are some things more important than money.
Look, I wouldn't watch the stock market every hour, every day.
I really hope that somehow the average person out there can separate themselves and their mindset from Wall Street. You know, don't get fooled by what's happening in the stock market.
Oh, sure. Pay no attention to your 401k losing half of its net worth because the stock market tanked so fucking low that you'd think it was 2020 and this was Fat Nixon's first term ruining America. So for most of us, myself included, we don't have a dime invested in the stock market because every dime we make goes to sustaining our definitely not luxurious lifestyles. So what do we care if the global economy goes to shit, right? Unless you work for a company that you didn't start yourself.
But in the long term, we're all dead. So how long are we going to have to wait for the benefits to come pouring in?
People are going to start building factories right now. And that means all that construction work begins now. That starts to employ Americans today. You're going to see plants being built, factories rebuilding. All shifts are going to be running hot across America now. You're going to see employment leaping starting today.
A few moments later.
Last night, we learned Unifor Local 444 telling its members at the Stellantis Windsor Assembly Plant that it was notified of a two-week shutdown that will start on Monday, April 7th.
Tariffs won't be enough to save hundreds of manufacturing jobs in Amana. That's because Whirlpool is laying off roughly a third of its workforce there, 650 of the 2,100 employees. The job cuts will take effect June 1st. Whirlpool released a statement blaming current market conditions for the layoffs.
But wait a minute. The manufacturing jobs were supposed to be starting, not ending. And that's because if you want to build your economy, the first thing you don't do is pull the rug out from under yourself. These flapping heads coming out of the Trump regime are so fucking stupid. No wonder they use Gmail to pass along detailed military operations to their colleagues when the 20-plus signal chats that they're using just isn't cutting it. And here's a newsflash for you. Manufacturing is not coming back to America. It's laying off Americans by the thousands to start, thanks to these idiotic excuses for reciprocal tariffs. And when I say idiotic, I mean this.
Donald Trump has argued over and over that we need to impose these tariffs because other countries have been ripping us off for years, taking advantage of the American people. The White House says the 10% tariffs are going to apply everywhere. Well, Wired and Axios pointed out something really important. Those taxes include the Heard and McDonald Islands. But here's what you might not realize. Those islands, they're in Antarctica. They don't produce any exports. Do you know why? Because there are not any human beings that even live there. There is no possible way that they could be taking advantage of us on trade. What we do not know is if the penguins who live there will retaliate.
Well, we now know an answer to this question. The good news is the penguins, who are not afraid of getting deported because they've been dealing with ICE for centuries, have now responded to Mango Magoo's tariffs threats.
Looks like we have a job to do. Captain's log, embarking into hostile environment. Kowalski, we'll need to win the hearts and the minds of the natives. Rico, we'll need special tactical equipment. We're going to face extreme peril. Private probably won't survive.
And Private's blood will be on Mar-a-Lardo's bald-ass head. Not that he gives a shit about anyone that we lose in combat. The fucker couldn't be bothered to attend the dignified return of four soldiers who died in a training exercise recently, but instead took a three-day weekend to go golfing with his Saudi besties who were in town. So what are those penguins supposed to do? Are the penguins going to now have to hide the pebbles that they give each other for fear old Yam Tits is going to want them for himself and want to have a minerals deal with them? That's how stupid these fucking tariffs are. Because it's not just the fact that these D-average assholes obviously used Google Maps to find any landmass on Earth so that they could tariff it. It's the barely calling this math equation they undoubtedly got GPT to come up with bullshit that they're calling reciprocal tariffs. In fact, it didn't take anyone who saw the waste of government spending chart Payless Putin held up during his recession announcement in the Rose Garden, who has half a brain cell left, who can figure out almost immediately that math ain't mathing. And to explain this better than I ever could, here is Andrew Wang from CBC News.
How the Trump administration went about calculating which countries should be hit with what reciprocal tariffs.
For nations that treat us badly, we will calculate the combined rate of all their tariffs, non-monetary barriers, and other forms of cheating.
What they appear to have done was to take the U.S. trade deficit in physical goods with each country, divided by total U.S. imports of goods from that country, turn that into a percentage, and that's it. That's what they misleadingly call tariffs charged to the USA. The White House would eventually publish this explanation, where they show a more complicated looking formula. That's what a trade imbalance in goods is. And if it's a deficit, that divided by total imports is basically what we said from the start.
It doesn't even attempt to measure what those tariffs are. They're not measuring other countries' tariffs. It's not measuring other countries' non-tariff measures. It's not even measuring currency manipulation. It's just taking the trade deficit as an ipso facto reflection of those things.
Now, like I said before, I am no math whiz, but even I know that a trade deficit is not the same as cheating. And I can explain this to you using the tiny landlocked nation of Leslo. This little country sells approximately 228 million in goods to the United States and then purchases about 7 million in return annually. Now, for the maggots in the back, that's what you call a trade deficit. The little nation of Leslo is basically broke as fuck. They have 2.3 million people living there, yes, but 75% of them are living in rural areas and don't have two dimes to rub together. Lesotho doesn't have much, but they do have animals. So they shave them and make clothes, exporting only textiles to America. But for some rich guy reason, the quarter flounder slapped a 99% tariff on one of the most poorest nations on the planet. Make that make sense. Because otherwise, this shit is fucking stupid. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, or Facebook. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. To Dirt for now.
These messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners, because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.